Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for coming by and listening to our podcast. God's doing some incredible things, and today we celebrate our 50th anniversary. We're real intentional on who we are and what we do, and I hope God blesses you in this message. Thank you so much. I'm excited this morning. I will tell you, we have worked really hard on this. We've been planning and talking about it for 18 months. I know some of you have noticed I'm wearing a suit. Every 50 years, it'll happen, all right? Every 50 years. So if I'm here at 100 years, I'll wear another one, all right? No, I'm just kidding. We'll do it a little more than that. But I want to say this, that we've been really excited about this. And for those of you watching this on Facebook Live, God bless you. We welcome you. We just call you blessed as well. But we've been really working hard, thinking about this, praying about this, strategizing about this day. And before we get into this, I want to record this in another way. Here at Colleyville Assembly of God, we like to have fun. Everybody like to have fun? We enjoy having fun? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a selfie, all right? Now, my arms are only so long, but we're going to take a selfie because 25 years from now, at the 75th anniversary, they're going to have to Google or whatever they do then to figure out what a selfie is. But we're going to take a selfie. So I'm going to take a picture right here. And as I do, I want you to wave. I want you to just enjoy it. Make a little bit of noise if you want. And let's just kind of enjoy this moment. You ready? Come on, make some noise. Here we go. All right, one more time. Let's get a little more light on this one. You ready? Here we go. One more time. Excellent. We'll have that up on the church Facebook page. The video that you just saw, that'll be up on the church Facebook page, as well as we're going to try and get that on the website where you can download that video and you can see some of those things that are there. Well, I'm excited this morning because as we jump into this, for 50 years, this church has been impacting this community. For 50 years, this church has made a difference in the lives of people, as is evidenced by those of you that are sitting in here right now. And I thought about that because a lot of us, we could think back on those moments. We could think back on those times where we came to faith, where we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So in order to do so, what we want to be real intentional today is we want to embrace the past. We want to engage the present, but we also want to equip the future. This church has had 50 beautiful years getting here, and should the Lord tarry, I believe there's at least another 50 ahead of it. I believe God's got some incredible things in store for this church. We're moving towards that direction. We're going to talk about that. So as we talk about our faith, there are moments and facilities and places that tie to that faith. I can tell you, I can see in my head right now, I know exactly where I was when I rededicated my life to the Lord. I remember exactly where I was when I was baptized in water. I remember exactly where I was when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I remember exactly where I was when I first stepped into the ministry. And what's funny is three of those four buildings are no longer Assembly of God churches. They're either not churches or they're different things. And unfortunately, that's kind of part of the process sometimes. But I will tell you, I can remember back on those moments. So I wanted to ask a question. I'm just curious. How many of you, either at First Assembly of God, Colleyville Assembly of God, Pleasant Glade Assembly of God, okay? These next few questions are going to be any of those, any and all together. How many of you were married in this church? Raise your hand up high. Wow, look at that. That's awesome. Okay. Now, how many of you, your children were dedicated in this house? All right. How many of you were dedicated in this house? I love it. That's huge. How many of you were baptized in water in this house? Come on. I love it. All three of my kids were baptized in water in this house. My youngest was dedicated right here. So I've got those same type of the parental side of that as well. And I love that. I think that's really, really important. But the fact is, we all have a degree of nostalgia for where we've seen the hand of God in our lives. I'll take my kids by the church that my grandfather pastored that my wife and I met in. And I went to that church till I was 17. And I'll drive my kids by, and it's really run down now, and it's a non-denominational church, but we'll drive by it, and my kids are like, but I'm like, you don't understand. I played football with nursery toys in that hallway till my grandfather got onto me. You know, I ran around the building until somebody caught me. My grandfather was a pastor of the church, so I thought I owned the place. Yeah, and I may or may not have had one kid who told me, well, Dad, you're the pastor. Can't you just tell them no? I'm like, doesn't really work that way, man. Doesn't work that way. But I have those memories, and we have those times that we can look back on and we can really connect to. But I think what we need to be really cognizant of the fact is that, yes, we have that degree of nostalgia and we need to enjoy where we are at the moment. But the fact of the matter is, we also need to make sure that we're intentionally looking forward. That we're doing all three of those pieces, that we're putting the three together, because we need to make sure that we understand that it is biblical to honor. It is biblical to remember. It is biblical to look back and celebrate what has been. But we also want to make sure that God is leading us today, and we're following God's direction into the future. We understand Hebrews 13:8 tells us, those of you that were in JBQ, you'll know this verse, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we want to be real intentional in doing just that, that we look back at the past, the present, and the future. I believe that our faith should dictate how we view our past. Because I can look back at my past, and there are parts of my past that I'm not proud of. There's a time in my past where I had sin in my life. There were things that held me back. But can I tell you, that's covered by the blood. It's in my past. There's also things that I want to look back in the past, and I can see where God had his hand on my life, even when I wasn't completely aware of it. Where God can, and we can celebrate and honor. So part of my past is under the blood. Part of my past I want to celebrate. But it, like I said, it needs to dictate who we are today and where we're going, because we know God's already there. This church is a testament to that type of idea. This church is a pretty amazing place. Colleyville Assembly of God in her 50 years has seen some really wonderful, wonderful times. And in her 50 years, she's seen some difficult times. But whether thick or thin, high or low, it's been incredibly evident that the hand of God Almighty has rested upon this church. So with that in mind, I want to talk about this for a couple of minutes. The first idea simply being that we want to embrace the past. We want to embrace the past. 1967, under the direction, the vision, and the leadership of Reverend Doyle Brown, several people full of faith stepped out and started to work for the kingdom of God in a little area known as Colleyville, Texas. Unfortunately, Pastor Brown was not able to be with us this morning. We extended an invitation. We actually extended an invitation to all of the former pastors, and due to other conflicts and then some health issues, they weren't able to be with us. However, I am excited because Pastor Brown's family is able to be with us this morning. And I recognized others in other places, but when there's a man and a family that takes a step of faith to start a work, that's a big step. And I want to make sure that we're really intentional, that we give honor where honor is due. So I'm going to ask the family of Pastor Doyle Brown, if you would just stand and let us honor you, please. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being with us. Some drove all the way from Houston to be here today, and we're incredibly appreciative of that. Thank you so much. I had the honor of meeting Pastor Brown several years ago at K-Nun's funeral. Had the opportunity to meet him and talk with him for a couple of minutes, and that was incredibly special to me in the role that I serve now, knowing that unless the Lord did something different, I would be pastor at this moment, that at the 50-year mark, I would be serving in that role, and I got to meet the man that started it. So it was a really special moment for me. But Pastor Brown, what I think is so neat is that when they started this work, just follow me for a minute, that the city of Colleyville had only been incorporated for about 11 or 12 years. And when they started it in 1965, that was the closest census I could find, that Colleyville, the city of Colleyville, had 1,496 people. 1,496 people incorporated for 10 years. But God gave a vision. God gave a vision to have a Pentecostal voice in this community. And the video showed a minute ago, they met right up the street in a building connected to the French's ornamental ironworks. But then in 1968, they built what is now our multi-purpose preschool room. But it was extended quite a bit out. It's been modified quite a bit. But that was the original building that this church actually met in. What I think is so neat is for the people that have been here through all of the years, and I thought about this for just a minute, they saw some pretty amazing things happen. They watched the original building in 1968 under Pastor Doyle Brown. They saw the Apex, which is now our students and kids facility. It was the original second sanctuary under the direction of Pastor Lloyd McCutcheon. And that was built in 1980. The education wing and the offices wing was built in 1990 under the leadership of Pastor Paul Tedesco. And then the present worship center was built, I believe 1993, 1994, somewhere in that area under Pastor Paul Tedesco. My understanding is the first service was Christmas Eve 1994 in this building. So there have been a lot of things that have happened in this church. And I look back at that and I'd asked different pastors if they could be here, and they weren't able to be here. But I will tell you, there's one that I'm incredibly excited that is here. And I asked him if he would take a few minutes this morning, because he pastored this church not once, but twice. Either he was a man of incredible vision or a glutton for punishment. We're not sure which. But he pastored this church. He loved this church, did some incredible things in this church. And I've asked him to come, and I asked him to share for about 10 minutes. He told me, give me five. I told him he had 10, but I think he's still telling me five. So, but he has 10 minutes if he wants it. So, but church, I want to ask you to help me welcome. This man is our pastor emeritus of this church. He also is my spiritual father. He is my mentor. He's been a pastor to me, and he's my friend. Help me welcome Pastor Lloyd McCutcheon.
Amen. All the glory goes to Him who sits on the throne. I'll take just a few moments today, and what a joy and an honor to see so many of our friends. I'm going to do something a little dangerous today. I'm going to call some names. I'm going to forget somebody. If I forget, you know that I love you. And I can only talk from my perspective from the years that my wife and I pastored here. I certainly would wish that some of the other former pastors could have been here today. I know all of them, and I've had a pretty close fellowship with some of the former pastors, great men of God. I'll attempt to give just a little history from my perspective today, things I remember and hold dear in my heart. Other parts of the church history you may learn from the photos, from the videos, and by chatting with persons who were here during other years. I remember hearing for the first time about a small but growing town named Colleyville. That was the year was 1975, and my wife Tony and I were serving as associate pastors with Reverend Bob and Velda Tao at First Assembly of God in Euless. Bob and Velda lived in Colleyville, so that's how we learned about Colleyville. It was during the winter of 1977-78 that I received a call from the pulpit committee of this church. At first, we didn't think we would be interested because we were having fun in Euless. We were enjoying our ministry there very much. However, I met with Pastor Tao, and he encouraged us to pursue this new endeavor with his blessings. We did, and the rest is history. I cannot say enough about the board members and those first families we met when we arrived here. I can name one board, and that's going to be it. But I had a lot of good boards, wonderful men of God. And I believe the board that time was Don Markham, Jack Casey, Robert Foster, Clyde Stevens, Paul Everett, and Luther Cantrell, if I am not mistaken. I'm going to name a few of the families here from those days. As I said, I'm probably going to miss somebody, and I apologize in advance, but let me just name a few. The Stanleys, the Mungers, the Halls, the Normans, Darlene Norman and Wanda Markham were our accompanists for years. Nobody better. The Clarks, the Campbells. How many of you remember Ruby Lovell and her family? The Cockrofts, the Reagans, the Kruzlaks, the Cheathams, the Pattersons. Travis Crane. Where's Travis? He were there. The Eggers, the Dovers, the Norrises, Tompy Everett, Lovey Butler. We had some ladies here then. The Carters, the Bodines, Connie Atkins, the Gunters, Flew Ellings. Where's Bob and Inez? Way back here, guy. You know, he's kind of walking with a cane today, but I told him we'd put him back in charge of the bus ministry if they'd come back. He did that ministry well for many years. Then let me just go to the Grays, the Hudsons. Man, I could talk about some of these people for a long time. Great, great people. Vera Pierce, Herman and Ferry, Pearlie. How many of you remember Pearlie? Yeah, you got to remember Pearlie. The Thompsons, Virgie Watts. Wonderful lady. B. Haggard, Connie Harris, Clements. I know there are many more. My memory could be jogged just a little bit. Of course, there were many others who arrived in subsequent days. In those days, though, Colleyville was a sleepy little town. Highway 26 was still called Business Highway 21, or Highway 121, was a two-lane road. Much of what today is filled with restaurants, shopping centers, and other businesses was green pasture land, where a few cows, but mostly horses, grazed. In fact, some of you will remember there was a horse racing track a little ways to the north of here called Ross Downs. How many of you remember Ross Downs? You shouldn't have been out there. not sure how they got by with that, but it's long gone. That area is now completely filled with houses and neighborhoods, very nice houses. In fact, it's about where I believe Glen Hope Elementary School is located today. I can think of one business that was here then that's still now, Foreman's Feed Store. About the only landmark left was here then and continues today. And most everything else is gone, been replaced with modern structures. But I remember those first days of ministry here and how the Spirit of God moved among us. He brought us together in unity and love. And Tony and I affectionately refer to those days as our Camelot. The church began to grow, and pretty soon, 1979, was already brought out. We broke ground for a new worship center. It now houses the youth ministry. Our youth ministry then was led by a fantastic man of God, Steve Bondrager, who was also our associate pastor. We remain close friends today. And it's a little bit amusing to report that I was at his retirement dinner the other night after having pastored a great Four Square church for quite a number of years. And so if he's old enough to retire, what does that make me? Education ministers were led by another great couple, Mark and Cindy Samford. What great days those were. Under Dave McAllister, children's ministries rocketed to new heights. Bus ministry was unbelievably successful in those days. It doesn't work so much anymore, but we were running about four buses and two or three vans, and kids were coming out of the woodwork, literally. I remember our music ministries in those days were led by Bruce and Ruth Clark, Mike and Cheryl Morgan. God did some good things both in the choir and our regular worship times. Ron and Pat Delaney were some special friends who served with us. I could probably name several more. Well, Tony and I resigned in 1984 to become Christian education directors for the North Texas District of the Assemblies of God. But we decided that our cup of tea was supposed to be pastoring. So 2 years later, we became pastors of Pleasant Glade Assembly of God, another church with roots in and a deep history in Colleyville, dating back to the 1930s. In fact, they will that church would be having its 80th anniversary fairly soon. Quickly moving ahead a few years, 18 to be exact, we were there, and a lot happened during those years. It became clear that God wanted these two churches to come together and become one. In August of 2003, the merger was accomplished, and Tony and I became pastors again here. It would not be possible to name all of the various staff and ministry leaders who helped us in those days. Great people. I want to mention some whom I depended on highly. Let me just say that the boards, we had a board of six men from each church. And when we merged, we decided that for the first year, we'd just keep everybody. So I had a board of 12 men. Every one of them was special. But I remember people that really helped us through that time, Dwayne and Becky Bickle. I just need to name, if I miss you, please know that you were loved and you were appreciated and you were a great help. And like I said, it's dangerous to start doing this, but I've walked on thin ice all my life. So, John and Kathy Jelinek, how many remember the Jelineks? Susan Paul Reedy. Susan was our children's pastor. In fact, she was a mother of our youth pastor now. So it just keeps turning over. Rick and Christy Walther, couldn't have made it without you guys. Special lady Kelly Ball. Ray Bollinger back in the sound booth. He's been there this whole time. Ray, I salute you, buddy. Terry and Darla Mitchell. Oh, man, great friends, great workers. I wish I had time and memory to name a bunch more. But just know that I love you and I esteem you very highly. All of you that have helped and been part of, made a contribution to this church and to my life. And it was very gratifying, Pastor, to see all those who were baptized in this church, all of those who were dedicated as babies or they dedicated their babies in this church, all the weddings that were performed here. I thought about this. I probably should not take my time, but my wife and I celebrated our 50th anniversary just a few weeks ago. And you'll get there if you haven't been there yet. And I decided to do something very special to me. I have Bibles that I preached with, had three old, worn-out preaching Bibles. I decided to give one Bible to each son. And I'd write a little note to go with that Bible of where it had been, how many weddings and how many funerals that Bible had been used for. And I thought about that as I was thinking about the 50th. God's done a lot of things. There's been a lot of water under the bridge. Let me wrap this up. Tony and I retired in 2011. Oh, one more thing about the board of 12. When Pastor Jeff and Glenda became our, and they were tremendous helpers in those days. They became our youth pastors. And the board gave me the privilege. I could hire who I wanted to do, but we needed for him to meet the board, let them ask him some questions. Scared him to death. 12 men. But then he became fast friends with all of them. And Wes, you made him feel at home. But I cannot tell you how pleased Tony and I were to learn that Jeff and Glenda Strickland had been elected to pastor this church. And we left for about 6 months, as long as we could stay away. And I asked, can we please come home? And the church was very kind to us, and they invited us to serve as pastor emeritus, which is just an honorary title, but we cherish that title. And we love and appreciate Jeff and Glenda and their family. We believe God sent them here to lead us into the future. I believe God, yes. And they're already doing that. Great, great things in store for this church. Let me just wrap it up, say God bless you. Thank you for being here, every one of you. We love you, we honor you, and this is your day. God bless you.
unique honor to be able to share this time with Pastor McCutcheon. It was kind of funny when he first talked to me about coming to serve in the youth and the associate role. I told him, I said, because it was a fresh merger. Merger happened in 2003, and I came in April of 2004. And I told him, I said, if it was anybody other than you, I wouldn't touch a merger with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't. I was smarter than that. But under the gentle, wise leadership with a very steady hand at the helm, merged two churches and made something very, very healthy. And I will tell you, I remember when he and I were talking and about what this transition time would look like. I knew God had called Glenn and I to pastor. We knew when we came here, we were in our last staff pastorate. We knew that, didn't know exactly what that was going to look like, but we knew we were in our last staff role, that God was starting to shift our hearts. But for 7 years, I was able to sit and learn. For 7 years, I had time where the two of us would go to lunch and I could just pick his brain. And I'm incredibly thankful. I'm very thankful. All right, I'm going to move on. I thought I was doing good too, but oh well. But you know, as I think about this time and I think about what this whole thing is about, and I thought about what can we learn? We see tremendous faith. I was talking with Brother Brown's family earlier, and they were telling me about how when they went through some really difficult times, this church came together to help. That's what a church family is. That's what doing life together is. And I thought about that, and I thought, okay, right now, today, as we embrace the past, what can we learn from those faith stories? What can we learn to apply in our worlds today? What can we do? And I really thought about something. These men and women that stepped out and they trusted God, they believed God. My question for us today is, what is God speaking to our heart? What is God speaking to your heart right now that you've heard people step out who took a step of faith? You heard there were men in 1968 that took on a $10,000 note each to start something. $10,000 today's a lot of money. 1968, it was a ton of money. And it took a step. So what is God speaking to your heart? What is God speaking to your life? What challenge is he placing there that you can follow their lead and you can step out? My father-in-law always had this saying. My father-in-law was an interesting individual. But I loved that man. I loved him. But he always had a series of sayings. But one of his favorite sayings was, 60-40. Say, hey, how you feeling today? 60-40. All right. Hey, who's going to win the election? 60-40 this. Everything was 60-40. Everything. And the problem is a lot of times we tend to approach our faith with the same 60-40 approach. We'll trust God 60%, but that last 40%, we need to hedge our bets. When those men took a $10,000 loan each, they weren't hedging their bets. They're saying it's got to be God or nothing. When Pastor Brown took his family and he started to work in Colleyville, it was God or it was nothing. And I think one of the things that we can learn as we embrace the past is say, you know what? Is God speaking to me? It's either God or nothing. So we can embrace the past. What else can we do today? We need to simply do this. We need to engage the present. We need to engage the present. Pastor Brown and all those incredible people started something 50 years ago to reach a community. Do you realize I told you it was 1,496 people? Today, according to the 2015 census, Colleyville proper, 25,487. Total mid-cities, and I'm not including Louisville, I'm not including Arlington or Irving, I'm talking just right around here, HEB, Grapevine, Colleyville, right around here, 431,000 people in these 11 communities. And I want you to understand, this church today, because we've embraced the past, as we get ready to engage the present, we've got a big job ahead of us. We've got a big job ahead of us, but God is faithful. God is faithful and he's doing incredible things. Last Sunday, this church accepted 12 new members to be a part of what God is doing in this church. Today, Colleyville Assembly of God, we support more than 70 missionaries and missions organizations on a monthly basis. One of the things that I'm so proud of and I want to share with you is our church is active in a ministry called Feed by Grace. Once a month, our team, and when I say us, because it's us together, okay, our church, but we get together and we will get food, and the food is supplied usually for us. It's not been every time, but most of the time. And our team prepares the food, and we take a team down to the homeless in downtown Fort Worth. We take somebody off of our worship team and somebody off of our teaching team, and they go down and we share the good news. We do worship. We pray with people. People come to know Jesus, and then we feed anywhere from 200 to 400 homeless people once a month. Yes! And as a result, to date, in 2017, 42 homeless people have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Our church is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is about the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, the work that was finished. That's who we are. That's what we're about. And I want you to understand, as a result, to date, in this house, 44 decisions have been made for Jesus in this house up in this year. Let me say that again. That did not come out right. Up to this moment in time, 44 people have made decisions to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's better. Yes! You spend much time around here, you'll hear, hey, we're addicted to changed lives. We want people who their eternity was headed to an eternal hell and damnation and separation from God to knowing Jesus as their personal Savior and walking in a lifestyle that will help them grow. That's who we are. That's what we want to do. We engage the present. Now, along those lines, we are a four-generation church. And that's a big deal to me. We're a four-generation church. We'll have from people in their 90s to people, we've got, I think, three or four pregnant mamas right now. I mean, we are running the gamut in the church. And you know what? That's healthy. A church that's all older people is not healthy. A church that's all younger people is not healthy. You need the four generations. And a monster value for us is that we give honor where honor is due. You know what that means? That means we give honor between the generations. We have the generations like Brother Brown's generation who they blazed the trail when there was nothing going on. They had a vision to be a Pentecostal voice and they went and they did something special. They have that generation and we need that generation pouring into us. I'm thankful that I can still call Pastor McCutcheon and say, hey, what do you think about this? And I have a sounding board, somebody who's been there, done that. It could speak into me. And should the Lord tarry, I plan to still be pastor when we celebrate our 75th anniversary. And at that point, I'm getting ready to pass it off to somebody else. All right. But I want you to understand it's important that we have the generations where we're pouring into each other. Our church has 7 healthy community groups, including our senior classics group, where people come together and they can do life together. We have for our students, for our kids, we believe that we're called to do life together. Jesus made it very clear in John 17 that he and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're in community. If they're in community, how much more important is it that we're in community? Amen? With that said, we have community groups tonight. Phil and Brenda will be out at the table if you need a place to connect. Shameless plug. Our church this year, and I'm so excited that they're here. Our church this year was able to plant our very first church. Pastor Suresh and Ms. Swarna Bolin right over here. If you'll just stand real quick. Yes. We planted our first church in Frisco, True Light Assembly of God, and they're the pastors of that church. So exciting what God is doing. There have been multiple prophecies given that this church is to be a Pentecostal voice and to make an impact in this community. And we're engaging the present to do just that. So we embrace the past. We engage the present. But let me tell you what really gets me going. We're going to equip the future. Because the future is bright in this church. God has so much in store. God has so much he wants to do in this church. We're going to equip the future. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1-3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and him who disowns you or dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What I love about that vision is God spoke to Abraham and he said, I want you to go. Where am I going? Doesn't matter. Go. I want you to do something. As you go, I'm going to send you. 50 years ago, Pastor Brown did just that. 50 years ago, he took a step out. 50 years ago, he started moving in a direction with this incredible group of founding members to come together to do something special. But here's the beautiful thing. God, just like he spoke to Abraham, look what else he speaks to Abraham going on in Genesis 15. He says, and he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. God brings Abraham out and he says, you remember what I told you? I'm bringing you along. Here's what it's going to look like. See all of these things. You see all of these things around you. This is what's happening. And what does the Bible say? It says, Abraham, what? He believed God. And I'm telling you, for 50 years, there have been pastors and there have been leaders and there have been people in this church who have done just that. They've believed God. When it got scary, when it got difficult, right around 2001, 2002, people believed God and they saw the hand of God in a very real way be faithful. Why? Because he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God knew what he was doing, church. He understood that and he knew what he was doing. But here's the thing. They didn't have all the answers. All they knew was they had a word from the throne. They had a word from the king. They didn't know what it was going to look like, but he still believed God. And what happened? Are you ready for this? Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. Thankfully, there's more to it, isn't there? They died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the earth. Without exception, all of the patriarchs died in accordance to the standards of faith. But listen to me, they died without ever actually seeing the promises fulfilled. They died without seeing why. And I want you to hear me when I say this. They never saw Canaan possessed. They never saw Israel become a great nation. They didn't see the whole world blessed through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. In 1967, Doyle Brown had a burden and a passion that was passed down through Pastor Ray Gwynn, through Pastor Jerry Venable, through Pastor Lloyd McCutcheon, through Pastor Kenneth Lynn, through Pastor Paul Tedesco, through Pastor David Rose, through Pastor John Sperling, again, Pastor Lloyd McCutcheon. And today I stand on their shoulders. I stand on the shoulders carrying this burden, carrying this passion. We've got to understand, church, if we're going to embrace the past, we're going to engage the present, we've got to equip the future. Why? Because as amazing as the first 50 years have been, they're nothing compared to where God's taking us. The best is yet to come. But why do we say that? Why is that important? Because we have to understand a God-sized dream, a God-sized vision, a God-sized burden cannot be accomplished in one generation. It takes generation to generation to generation to generation to make it happen. You look back and you see it in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can see it in Moses and into Joshua and on into the judges. It takes multiple generations to bring a God-sized vision to pass. And for the first 50 years, we've been moving that direction. But I believe with all my heart, the best is yet to come. This community has never seen what God wants to do in this community. That's why Four Generation Church is important. If we're all in our 20s, we're in trouble. And I'm too old. And there are some Sundays I feel that way. Now, if you're not Pentecostal, you may be thinking, why is he yelling at us? I needed to work out. No, I'm excited. I'm excited what God is doing. God is doing some great things in our church. There's a timer going back there, but ask me if I paid attention to it. Nope. So here's a question. That one that's negative five and counting. Here's the deal. What does the future hold? What does the future really look like? We talk about in our church that our vision is to be completing people in Christ. That's who we are. Completing people in Christ. What does that look like? Well, first of all, that means people who don't have a relationship with Jesus coming to know Jesus. Okay? You can't even begin to get on that process if you're not in a head over heels in relationship with Jesus. And the thing is, he loves us so very much, and he loves this community. He wants to impact people. I believe that our church's purpose before anything else is to proclaim the good news. Because there are countless people all around us that are dying and they're going to hell. And I want to be the church that we set up 1 yard from the gates of hell and we say, no, not on our watch. Not on our watch. We'll fight. What else does completing people in Christ look like? It's relational. It's relational. It's an environment that's multi-ethnic. It's multi-generational. Because if you think only white people between 20 and 30 are going to be in heaven, you are going to be sadly mistaken. Got bad news for you. All right? It's beautiful to look at the way the kingdom works. But we want to be in an environment that is fueled by relationship, where we know each other and we care about each other. And as a church grows, our community group, that's where it's going to have to happen. Spending that time getting to know people, doing life together. Completing people in Christ means you're in a relationship where you can look at somebody and say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. Will you pray with me? Completing people in Christ means that when you're going through a difficult time, you can say, hey, I can really lean on this person. They'll hold me up. Completing people in Christ is also serving. I believe the idea of a non-serving Christian is an oxymoron. We should all be serving. We should be finding places to plug in, finding places to serve. We should be serving the community. We should be serving the lost around us. Not all that long ago, I went into Chicken Express across the street and I said, hey, do you know where Colleyville Assembly of God is? No. You mean that big white building right there? Oh, yeah, I knew it was a church or something. Fact is, the enemy's done his best to try and hide everything. But I believe God is opening eyes. I believe God is doing a work in hearts and lives. But it's going to happen when we serve people and we care for people. It's being completing people across means that we have a purpose. We have a purpose. We have a passion. We understand who we are and why we're here. It's living it out in our everyday life. It's not enough to serve Jesus on a Sunday and then do our own thing the rest of the week. It's let Jesus be Lord of all. Let him be Lord of everything. We want to be intentional in making those things happen. We believe that as we move forward, part of that is to have an aggressive mission strategy to fulfill the Great Commission. We're an Assembly of God church. We are founded on missions. And on my watch, we'll always be a missions church. I love what that looks like and what that means. We believe that we need to create an environment where people can engage the Lord in worship, where people can meet with the Lord. Can I just say this? I believe we need to foster an environment where there's true Pentecostal worship happening and people can experience the gifts of the Spirit in a real way. We need to see those things happen more than ever. And there are people who say, man, the gifts of the Spirit, you got to be careful. That'll repel a guest. I could not disagree more with that. I think when there's something authentic happening, people want to be a part. So I could not disagree more with that. I want to create an environment where people are really flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. My heart is to really see the Mid-Cities area impacted for the kingdom of God through this church. And here's the biggest piece of my vision for the future. I am not knocking large churches, okay? But I don't want to build, and I know we've got space over here, we're blessed. And the original vision was to build, I believe, a 1,500 seat auditorium over there, 1,200, 1,500 seat. We don't have the parking for that anymore. Because too many people come to church in one car. You almost have to have as many cars as you do people. That's just real. But here's what my vision looks like anyways. I want this church to build up to about 450 people. And I want to take a talented staff pastor and 50 people. And I want to mother a church in Bedford. And I want to build back up. I want to mother a church in Watauga. And I want to build back up. And I want to mother a church in Keller. and I want to mother a church in North Richland Hills. I want to mother churches. I want to be super, super intentional in building the churches that will impact the lives of people. That's where I want to see. I feel like we can have more of an impact for the kingdom of God. But in order for that to really happen, in order for that to really be a possibility, then we've got to be intentional that we really, truly equip the future. Because in order to do that, future pastors, board members, even if there's 12 of them, that was the scariest thing in my life. I walked in, I was like, oh, Lord, there's 12 of them. I almost turned around, walked back out in tears. You know, I'm just kidding. They're all good men. They were all good men. But future board members, staff pastors, musicians could be sitting in this church right now. They may be back in kids' church right now. We've got to be intentional that we develop a leadership culture in our church and an excellence culture where we can help them grow into the calling God has placed on their lives. We're not doing anything if we're not developing the next generation that should the Lord tarry, that we can hand it off. If you read at the very beginning of Judges, there became a generation who knew not the Lord. That devastates me to think about. Breaks my heart. This church could be something special. I believe that. It already is. We're going to that next level. But as we get ready to go to that next level, we've got to be intentional in moving that direction and being a place of excellence. Excellence in all we do and all that we are. So as we look at the beautiful story that is Colleyville Assembly of God, we've got to embrace the past. Know where we've been. Know how we started. Know what makes us us. Engage the present. I want to encourage you for 1 minute. Don't be so future-minded you can't enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. I'm loving this right now. But we're also going to be real intentional to equip the future, to know where the Lord's leading.